I've known Sherm Hoyt for a long time in Maine. He's been with the Cooperative Extension and with Sea Grant. In a way, it's like a government and academic interface with the public, different interest groups, particularly different fishing organizations. And so here you are, it's 2012, and you're still working doing this.
Well, there's all kinds of issues that are coming at us. It's going to get busier as time goes on. I just hope young people step up and continue the work that, you know, we've been doing. You're kind of in that older generation, Ron.
Shocking.
We're running out of energy and time, but there's still tons of work to do to engage the public with government and with regulators to come out with a good public process.
Now, I've seen you at other offshore wind meetings in Maine. What is Sea Grant trying to do, or what is their role within this process? It's a new thing in Maine.
Well, our role is really to engage the public with the university scientists, with the research and development branch working on wind energy, and to give the public a place where they can weigh in on where these wind farms should be sited, where the experimental sites such as the one off Monhegan should be sited, and how the community can interact with the wind industry and with the university to maximize the benefit for everyone.
Now, I've noticed land-based wind developers have had a lot of challenges from people, yet ocean wind power doesn't seem to be suffering from that as much.
Well, it's because there aren't as many people out on the ocean, you know, and it's the part of the reason for going offshore is because it'll be out of sight. The visual impact will be less. But there are a lot of people from New England working the waters of the Gulf of Maine and Georgia's Bank, and we need to have their voice heard when these wind farms are sited.
Now, there are two of them that I know of in the Gulf of Maine that are, and they're both based off of Maine, as far as the Gulf of Maine goes, and that's Deep Sea Wind Consortium's project out of the University of Maine and Statoil's High Wind project. Are you working to get people involved with both of those?
Well, we did a lot of work with the university and the Monhegan test site. We had a lot of community meetings in Port Clyde. Actually, two meetings in Port Clyde, two meetings in Booth Bay, two meetings in Bristol, and two meetings in Friendship to try to get the public informed about what the university is doing on that test site off Monhegan. This process, the federal process, is really very different.
Now, this is being done, managed by the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, which is Department of Commerce or something. And so I've noticed at different meetings that there's a government hierarchy that can be kind of difficult to penetrate for the average citizen. You know, do you try to be an interface between both big, like say big industry? This is one of, Statoil, after all, is one of the biggest energy businesses around. And this other consortium, you know.
Well, I think that's really, the university has to make a decision on its role. The university is really committed to wind energy, and so I hope that the university will find a role for Sea Grant in this federal process. But the federal process is really very different, and I'm not sure where state folks are going to, what kind of a role we're going to play. It's not clear to me yet how that's going to play out.
I noticed Statoil has a stakeholder manager, Carrie Heggie Moes, and I suppose that's one person that you interact with then for Statoil.
I haven't talked to her, although I was introduced to her. I wanted to kind of get some background on how they got the permit, the federal permit, what that process had been. And I know they were given a lot of resources by the university and the Island Institute on where fishing activity was occurring in that area. So they had that information when they made the decision to apply.
As you know, at least one tuna fisherman has challenged this sort of a priori selecting of a site where they feel there's very important to a tuna fishery location that would essentially could be significantly closed off. Is there a sort of a different approach than deep sea winds going on here?
Well, that's not. I mean, there certainly could be. And I'm trying to think of the state process to select the test site off Monhegan. That was a very different process with lots of community meetings, lots of community input requested by fishing industry and everyone else. I think the. It's pretty clear there are three or four fisheries that are very active in the high wind main site: tuna, lobster, groundfish, and shrimp. And they, you know, they're going to be impacted by this.
A certain level of basically fishing area denial if there are basically windmills and the other. So that's the challenge. You can't.
Well, it is.
You can't
it is.
Put another industry into an area where industry.
Can do that, and I think that's the challenge here. I think we need to do that, but we need to do it very carefully and thoughtfully, and we need to listen to everybody, and otherwise we run the risk of poor choice of sites, and you know, lack of support from the communities.
And thus the sort of concern that they've gone ahead and, as you say, selected the site and said, this is where we'll do it. But that,
well, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. Yeah. I mean, they have their process, and I'm just hoping that it will work.
Mm-hmm. And so how long do you intend to follow this along?
Oh, until I'm... until I'm put down for good.
Well, how long?
I mean, this is interesting. This is the future, and it's a challenge. And we should all be involved in it. It's going to impact Rockland certainly, and Port Clyde, and all the coastal communities in Maine. It's got tremendous potential, but it does have some problems.
Sherman Hoyt, thank you very much.